Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Well, I gotta say that so far the results from today's forking of Bitcoin have been a pleasant surprise.
It's been a good forking day.
It has been a good forking day for Bitcoin. Today is the first time, as we've been discussing in probably more detail than we should on a general interest audience radio show.
We are for many people, we're the birthplace of Bitcoin.
It's definitely, you know, true that we have been very, very closely following Bitcoin for a long time on this program. And, you know, nobody knows what's going to happen here. I mean, what we're into, just in general, the whole thing with Bitcoin, this decentralized cryptocurrency that's, you know, was the world's first. There have been hundreds of them that have come out since. But Bitcoin's still number one, still on top. And there was this sort of unprecedented forking of Bitcoin today, which resulted in a what they call a chain split. The blockchain, which is the ledger, which is basically the key to Bitcoin, essentially. This is the heart of what the Bitcoin concept is. It's a distributed ledger that exists in thousands of locations simultaneously all around the globe. This helps it be, you know, make sure that it's accurate and verified and, you know, true and correct and, you know, uneditable. For instance, it's immutable.
It's done that for years.
Right.
Successfully.
And this was the first time, today was the first time that it had ever split into two, meaning that the blockchain and all of its transactions, because the blockchain is this ledger that's essentially 8 years worth of Bitcoin transactions all in, it's about 140 gigabytes in total size at the moment. This ledger split off into two versions of that same ledger. So we talked a lot last night about, you know, 8:20 in the morning Eastern time was going to be the big deal. That was when the, you know, the
Bitcoin. I thought it was supposed to be 10 in the morning.
Not Eastern time.
Eastern. This is what I'd seen last night. I don't know.
Nope, it was.
My information. You guys are probably going to have better information than me.
8:20 Eastern time.
It was 12:20.
It'll be 4:20 somewhere.
It was 12:20 Zulu time was what it was supposed to be, or Greenwich Mean Time, or whatever you want to call it, UTC, and that's 4 hours away from where we are. So it was supposed to be 8:20, but it didn't actually happen until about 6 hours later. The first block wasn't actually mined into existence. So finally, it did happen. So I'm sure there are people on the, you know, SegWit side who are gloating about
time did it actually happen? Maybe that's
around 2:30. I would say. I don't have the exact time on when it was found. That's my recollection from this afternoon about when it was 2:30 Eastern time.
I think that's where you're wrong. I believe it occurred at 10:30 this morning.
No.
Because I was reading about it this morning.
I've been watching this all day long.
I was too.
Roger Ver and his, you know, cohorts have created $4 billion worth of value.
$6.4 billion
now. I mean, it keeps moving around. $6.4 billion worth of value, giving it to you people, and all you can do, you ingrates. I mean, you stinking ingrates, is complain about it. His coin has doubled in value today. Find me the IPO. Find me the traditional investment where my value can double in a day, and I'll really be appreciative. Otherwise, all these nameless people on Facebook, and look, there's a couple of them I know that disagree.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. But
they're all cashing in today. If they don't like the Bitcoin Cash, they're taking it over to whatever exchanges like Bittrex or Kraken where they can trade this stuff, and they're cashing in, and they're making money.
Apparently, they're not cashing in enough. A sell.
The price is going up.
Right. Sell in the marketplace causes the market, the price to go down. A buy in the marketplace causes the price to go up. Currently, it's a buyer's market.
Yeah, right now the price of the new Bitcoin Cash, according to CoinCap.io, is about $394 per unit. Since it has the same number of units at this point as Bitcoin does, because it was Bitcoin, it still is Bitcoin. It's just a variant of it.
I know I have a bias here. I'm clear. Roger Ver is my friend. He has supported this show for a very long time. I understand I have a bias, but tell me the difference between sitting there and being all mad about Bitcoin Cash while you cash in and get $400 per Bitcoin. and make
yeah, that's right
you know
now.
Money hand over fist
but here's
for
the question,
free.
Though,
hold
are
on,
they cashing
tell
in?
Me the difference between that and you know a 4-year old sitting there and saying, "But I want a chocolate ice cream. I want chocolate, and he's got vanilla, and I want everything to be my way."
You're pretty good at that.
Thank you. Oh, I've heard the most unreasonable. I am the only parent in the room, and I've heard the most unreasonable of complaints.
I thought you were channeling young Mark.
Yeah, well, I'm sure young Mark was unreasonable, too.
Yeah. There's another hard fork on the way.
I know, but...
In November.
Yeah. Well, what's that one about?
So that's where there's this, the main chain, or whatever you want to call it, Bitcoin.
Bitcoin's getting all forked up.
Yeah, sure is. The main chain is going to fork to a 2 megabyte size increase, but there are a bunch of people who don't want to see that happen, so the purists who are against increasing the block size may decide to keep their little version of Bitcoin going on, and so we may end up having 3 Bitcoins come in November.
I really have a difficult time understanding what those people's argument would be. The small blockers, the argument that the block should be kept small. So
I don't know.
In the absence of a Bitcoin competitor, I can see why you would say small blocks not a big idea, not a big deal. But once you know there is an option for lower fees, are people not going to choose the option that has lower fees? If you decide I want to send money to someone for $2, or I want to send money to someone for 50 cents, and I would get the same, I'm going to get the same service, and the only difference is price. Will not people choose
the
lower
option.
Price?
Of course they will.
What I really would like to see is a world where instead of giving a like on an article,
mm-hmm.
you know, like on Facebook when you get a little thumbs up
yep.
for reading the article, that it toss that you can, you know, your thumbs up costs you something.
Yep.
And I'm not talking about a lot. You know, like 3 cents, 5 cents, or something like that.
Well, they actually have something better than that. It's called Steam. Steam it. Steemit.com, Steemit.com. There, you can vote up people's articles or submissions or whatever it is they write up, and those people will be given cryptocurrency called Steem, and that comes out of basically nowhere. It's being mined into existence simply by virtue of the fact of people using the system brings more of this stuff into existence. So by participating on Steemit over the last year, because I've been there for a year now, just sort of reposting most of the stuff. Every now and then I'll put something unique on Steemit that's just posted on Steemit, but most of it's just reposts from my free Keen blogs. You know, I'll pull in like $5 to $10 worth of Steemit on any given blog post. It's not a whole lot, but it's more than I've ever made doing blog posts anywhere else. So that already exists, Mark.
Yeah.
What you're talking about.
It works for the people who were the early adopters of Steemit. I went in there and I've posted a couple of things, but I never got any traction. So when I like something, it doesn't go anywhere.
I'm surprised with the number of different variants of different cryptocurrencies that are out there that someone hasn't developed one called Splitcoin. That like has a set number of times that it just splits, and it'll just go for like a month and then split and then go and then split and just keep splitting into different currencies, just, you know,
just for the
fun
of it.
What happens, and but each time it splits, you maintain the, you know, your original, you know, like you get a copy, so it
yeah.
just, you know, as you keep splitting, you just have hundreds of different variants of coins.
Somebody was joking about that in our chat room today, was that you know, he was against the split and now he wants one every day.
Because
if you can add $4 billion worth of or $6.5 billion dollars worth of market cap just by, you know, creating a new currency.
Maybe I just gave somebody a crazy idea that they're gonna do. Who knows? You know?
But the reason, you know, the arguable reason why this
business doing the same thing over and over again always works.
The arguable it's a cute idea, but the arguable reason why this worked this time is because the market was demanding this, that the market wasn't happy with this sort of one-size-fits-all Bitcoin, and that it did want to have another option, and that's what, you know, happened. But
wait,
would it want 6 Bitcoins? I don't know.
Wait, hold on now. You said you're doing the same thing over and over again, but with a split coin, right? You say you hold the copies and whatnot, and then it keeps splitting and splitting and splitting, right? Well, not all of the forks would have to succeed.
Consumers have always sort of driven how payments are done. You know, whatever consumers want to pay, that's how businesses are going to accept payments.
Sure.
And so, you know, it used to be controlled by the banks with, you know, checks and checking accounts and just old school ways of doing it. You know, and then the credit card companies came along and they started marketing to consumers and, you know, with rewards, and the Diners Club, I think, was one of the first cards to come out. So you had an incentive, right, to use this payment method. So because they knew as soon as you got the consumers on board, you could get the businesses on board, and then you could charge the businesses a bunch of money to accept it, right? And then you had PayPal and Venmo and a bunch of things that you have now, and that's always been the case. And so what all of those have in common is that money did not equal the payment method, right? So money and payment method were not linked in that scenario. Well, Bitcoin is the money and the payment method all in one. And so the usefulness and the value of Bitcoin comes from people wanting to use it.
My prediction was going to be like what happened to Ethereum and Ethereum Classic when Ethereum split last year, which is the number two cryptocurrency right now, when it split into two. Both of those currencies went down. Now, I don't know how quickly after, because I haven't reviewed the charts or whatever. Maybe it took a couple of days. So maybe we're still going to see, you know, some big sell-offs or whatever, and the prices of these things drop. But as of right now, the aggregate price between Bitcoin Core and Bitcoin Cash is higher than what it was before today's historic forking. So,
yeah, you saw a relatively big jump, and right now Bitcoin Cash is clawing its way up. It may very well surpass Ripple as the third largest market cap of any of these coins by this evening.
It's more of a spooning, really.
Yeah, right now Bitcoin Cash is coming in over at coincap.io at number 4 on the charts at $6.4 billion market cap. Ripple at only 6.8, so it's well within striking distance. I mean, it could be above that within the hour.
Recently, Bitcoin Core developer Luke Dash Jr., a.k.a. Luke Jr., wrote an opinion piece almost entirely about Bitcoin Cash itself. But before we get onto the topic... before we get on to the Bitcoin Cash topic here, let me address one glaring point made by Luke early on in his piece. Given that SegWit2x is well underway now, Luke actually makes an admission, stating, and I quote, "Basically, BIP148 UASF, the user-activated soft fork, was an early success. This statement conclusively reaffirms statements I made in an earlier piece that Blockstream UASF and DCG SegWit2x are in bed together."
So there's way too many acronyms here for anybody to decode. What was that was just said?
So because the user activated
soft
fork.
I'm a Bitcoin guy and I had trouble with that.
So they're basically saying Blockstream is the user activated soft fork. UASF is Blockstream. That Blockstream is responsible for that user
activated
soft fork.
And this was a plot that was supposed to originally go off today if this proposed technical change, the segregated witness change, wasn't put into place in time. This UASF plan would have moved forward, but they didn't end up having to do that.
And DCG, I'm not sure what DCG is, but they're saying it's SegWit2x.
So, okay.
That Blockstream and DCG are in bed together. And I'm going to restate this. The big blockers have been played.
Today I wanted to talk about my oldest son. He's 12 years old, and you know, I talked to him about inflation and stuff like that, sort of the dangers and all that, but I've never once talked to him about Bitcoin. And when he got a new computer for his schoolwork this coming year. We have him at like a remote charter school. So he does all of his work on the computer, and he plays video games on it too. And I happened to notice, you know, one day he was on the computer, and I saw he had he was mining Bitcoin, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, you're mining Bitcoin!" He's like, "Yeah, I'm mining Bitcoin," and I'm like, "Why are you like? First of all, like how'd you find out about it?"
Well, he's not. He's attempting to mine Bitcoin.
What do you mean he's not? What do you mean
he's
not doing it?
He gets about $3 worth of Bitcoin a day.
Does he?
No, what
really?
Do you mean, Mark? Why are you saying he couldn't mine Bitcoin?
What kind of machine is this that he's pulling down those kind of numbers?
It's actually I don't know, like it showed how much he made in a day, and it had like a little conversion thing, and it said it was like $3. He's got a wallet with the Bitcoin inside of it.
Wow, it was my understanding that basically if you try to use a regular computer, all you're doing is burning electricity.
Well, you
and a lot of it.
You
unless you're part of a pool.
Yeah, you can join mining pools, Mark.
He is part of.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he is part of a mining pool. I did see that. Like, he talked about, you know, that he joined a mining pool.
Imagine being, like, you know, 12 in 2011 when Bitcoin was, you know, 20 cents or whatever it was.
Absolutely,
you take your lunch money, you know, pour it into some Bitcoin, and you end up with thousands of Bitcoin or something like that, or your allowance from a few weeks, and then, you know, hold on to them, and then within a few years you're richer than your all your relatives put together.
That uncontrolled source of income as a kid with no bank, you know, not having to worry about a bank, having being able to spend an order from places like you know, Amazon, Overstock, wherever. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's, yeah. I bet there are a bunch of young people who are Bitcoin millionaires right now that aren't even out of high school.
If I find Jack doing this, he's going to have to go out in the yard and pick up sticks to pay for all that power he's using.
So now the new agenda by Core and Blockstream is to attack Bitcoin Cash as an altcoin and to discredit its position as the true Bitcoin. But anyone reading Satoshi's white paper and other writings will instantly recognize that Bitcoin Cash is indeed the coin that the inventor and creator desired. But this isn't about doing it for Satoshi. It is about recognizing that there was nothing ever wrong with the original roadmap for Bitcoin. The derailment by Blockstream into SegWit isn't for Bitcoin's benefit. It is actually for the benefit of Blockstream and its many investors. Luke also stated that this isn't a...
Because Blockstream is this company that has kind of quietly been funded with like $100 million from big banks, and they've gone in and essentially bought up these programmers inside of Bitcoin and have turned them to their vision of what Bitcoin should be, which is presumably something that is going to rely on Blockstream's technology to continue on into the future and hopefully, you know, in their minds, make them all kinds of money.
Mm. Well, Luke also stated that this isn't a particularly unique or even first-of-a-kind altcoin. Bitcoin Dark and Bitcoin Plus have tried to hijack the Bitcoin name previously. Again, he mentions the term hijacking.
That's not exactly accurate. So Bitcoin Dark and Bitcoin Plus wouldn't have been forks and wouldn't have the entire,
They wouldn't have been forks of the blockchain. I think the word fork you can still apply to taking the code, making a change to it, and restarting it from the beginning. Yeah. That's like a software fork or something like that, whereas we've seen an actual fork into a blockchain copy, two copies of the blockchain.
Because the entire ledger has been maintained, right? So switching from Core to Cash shouldn't be that huge of a difficulty, right? I mean, it should be, you know, to develop some of these things. I mean, essentially, you copy the existing code from whatever point of sale systems are already written and just, you know, change a few addresses and boom, you got another point of sale system for Bitcoin Cash.
That's true.
You don't really need to rewrite very much.
Right. And in fact, if I wanted to tomorrow, I'm the administrator of the Bitcoin vending machine here in town. If I wanted to, I could go and load up Bitcoin Cash onto the server, reset the machine, and have it sell Bitcoin Cash to people. Now, I wouldn't do that because that's not what they're expecting to buy. Right. But yeah, you're right. You can pretty easily take one and replace it for the other. But that's where this marketing problem comes into play, is now there's two Bitcoins for the first time ever, and two sides that are very vehement on one side or the other, and then the question is, how's that all going to shake out when it comes to talking to business owners about it?
Hold on.
I want to ask a question for Ian Freeman, Bitcoin activist, because this is
he's only here one
question.
Night a week, Mark.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Here's a question for Ian Freeman, Bitcoin activist. As soon as some of these payment gateways, BitPay, Coinbase, whoever, maybe not Coinbase, start accepting Bitcoin Cash, if that happens very soon.
It's unlikely that'll happen at all.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Really?
We already know Coinbase is refusing to do anything with Bitcoin Cash, and I highly doubt BitPay is going to do anything with it either.
Really? Okay.
Right. The last time we talked to BitPay about, you know, hey, are you guys going to accept anything else besides Bitcoin? The answer was no.
Interesting.
So why would they? I believe BitPay is one of the companies that signed on to the SegWit2x plan. So they're likely, you know.
So are there any payment processors out there that exist that accept Bitcoin Cash?
Not yet.
I was actually going through just reading some news here, and I saw this story that I thought I might bring to your attention. This Aleutian, I don't know if I'm saying this right, a town in Alaska.
Aleutian.
Seems to have its entire police force is gone. Not that it was a very large one. Apparently they had three cops and the chief, and a couple of them had left, and then the chief had a planned month-long vacation to Scotland, and while he was gone, the city council had decided that they were no longer going to provide him with employment. And so they no longer have a police department. But according to the piece I'm reading here, on July 20th, the city of Sandpoint released a PSA calling for calm, saying that while the police department was, quote, in transition, citizens should rest assured that the community will not be in a lawless state. Things actually went pretty smoothly in the days the town was without a police department, said Austin Roof, the general manager of the local public radio station. Everybody was busy fishing, which was great, Roof said. And I was just thinking to myself, you know what? They should do this in like Harlem, and then those guys would all just go fishing instead of shooting each other and selling crack, right?
WTOP reporting that 34 criminal cases have now been dismissed in Baltimore amid the investigation into the alleged planting of evidence by a Baltimore City police officer. 12 cases that were thrown out, according to the state's attorney, Marilyn Mosby, involved defendants who are all now serving time for convictions. In all, 123 cases are being reviewed by prosecutors in light of police body camera footage that was released by the public defender's office. Defense attorneys claim the body camera footage shows an officer planting a can with drugs at a crime scene before activating his body camera. He's then seen returning to the can and pulling out a baggie with white capsules. The officer wearing the camera has been suspended by the department. Two other officers heard and seen in the video have been placed on administrative suspension and or administrative duty. The public defender's office identified the officer as Officer Richard Pinero. Quote, we are dismissing those cases which relied exclusively on the credibility of these officers, said Mosby. The state's attorney's office said the cases that were dismissed involved felony drug and gun possession charges and convictions.
I used to work with law enforcement. When I was in prison, I was the staff canteen operator. I served the cops coffee, mm-hmm. and I worked there for 6 years for $75 a week. Excuse me, a month. $75 a month was my paycheck. And I talk to officers on a pretty regular basis. One of the ones that I worked with, I'm not going to give his name or anything like that, but he was a sergeant. He said he'd been in the business a long time. I asked him, about sort of setting people up. And he said, look, sometimes you know somebody's a bad guy.
You got to do what you got to do.
And you can't catch them. So, yeah, I've set people up.
Wow.
You see, he admitted that, yes, he's set people up because he knew they were bad guys. And he may very well be right. They might very well have been bad guys. I can't answer that. But, you know, here you have an admission from one officer, one sergeant, and, how many times does this go on?
Tip I can tell iceberg. You
some mm-hmm. officers would never do this. But I would have considered this guy one of the good guys, or at least one mm-hmm. of the mediocre guys. I'm kind of the opinion there's 25% good guys, 50% sort of, just normal human beings, and then 25% bad guys is what I saw. Mm. And I wouldn't have put him in that bad guy category. WALB.com reports from Lowndes, Lowndes County, Georgia. Georgia State Patrol officers made a major bust during an I-75 traffic stop. The trooper pulled a vehicle over for failure to move over while Lowndes County Captain Ed Christian performed a traffic stop on I-75 Sunday evening just after 5 p.m. Now, I've got some questions. Failure to move over.
It's probably because the cop was in the lane, pulled somewhat over, perhaps?
Yeah. County Sheriff Captain Ed Christian performed a traffic stop?
Yeah.
Captain Ed Christian performed a traffic stop?
You're suggesting it's unlikely that a captain would be in a cruiser pulling people over?
Unless a tip was given that this car will be here at this
with
time.
With a bunch of money?
Or whatever. Mm. Then at which point the captain certainly wants to be on site. Otherwise, the captain's busy at the station.
That's an interesting point.
When I used to ride around with my dad all the time, when he would clock off of work, he still would not shut it off. He would, on the way home after he would get drunk from the bar, he would drive around the city trying to pull people over. And that stuff he confiscated, he took home.
Yeah, you mentioned the other day when you called about this, dad's a cop, that he would bring weed home and give it
Not just weed.
right? Yeah. Other drugs or whatever, and just like give it to what, his friends or his other kids or something?
Well, he would give it to my brother and my brother's friends.
Wow.
Did your dad ever have to deal with any kind of trouble? I mean, you know, it sounds like he messed around quite a bit.
Or did he get away with it all?
Yeah.
He did. Whenever he got into trouble, or he would lose it and destroy property in our place. And then when his buddies came there, they would take him to the hospital. He would be in the hospital for a couple weeks till they calmed him down, and then they would let him back home. Now, when he would hit the bar right after.
Say that again. I didn't understand what was said. I'm sorry.
Okay. Whenever he had violence, whenever he couldn't, because he needed that adrenaline all the time. And then when there wasn't nothing happening,
I see.
He would literally destroy our place where we lived. And then they would have to come up, get him, calm him down. They would put him in the hospital for a week or two until they got him under control, and then let him go back home and then go out on the street.
What was his rank when he was
retired?
He got
to be a lieutenant.
James in Arizona.
James.
You talking about the angry guy? The angry man who calls?
No, he's probably retarded.
Does he still call in?
No, he was banned from calling the show for a 2-month time frame. That month, 2-month time frame expired like more than a month ago at this point, and
he didn't figure it out because he's retarded.
I actually figured he would have put it on his calendar because he's got some sort of compendium of all the topics he's called about and on what days and everything. He seems like really well organized with old quotes of things we've said and things like that. So I was surprised when he didn't actually call the very first day that his ban was lifted, and he actually hasn't called since. Since that
drinking.
Time, he did call the Cody O'Connor show, the Off the Air Live. However, in the time frame that he was banned from Free Talk Live, so he was. It's not like he's gone away completely. He's definitely, you know, still out there listening to LRN.FM, and yeah, although he hasn't called Cody's show in a little while, but that might be because I banned all unlisted numbers. So if you call the back lines here, which he had the number to. If you call the back lines here in the studio with an unlisted or whatever they call it, the blocked number, then we just won't let that call through.
Right.
So if he's going to call with his regular number, which he could still do if he wanted to.
Who's lost 40% of their testosterone?
In the U.S., they did a study and it was like 40% lower over the last, I don't know, was it 4 decades or something?
40%.
U.S. and Europe, actually.
I hadn't heard.
I'm just going to go ahead and take your word for it at this point. I have not looked this up. Please do not, listeners, please do not take this as fact. But you want some wild conjecture from me as to why it's happened? Men aren't doing men things anymore. There's two purposes of a person with a Y chromosome. That's to spread genetic diversity and lop the heads off of the people who spread genetic diversity. And well, frankly, with marriage and serial monogamy, we're not spreading the genetic diversity that we used to do. And frankly, acting like you're a male is pretty much frowned upon these days. Secondly, lopping heads off is highly illegal.
But wait, are you saying, Mark, that testosterone comes from acting like a male, or that acting like a male comes from testosterone? Because
both of those things. 100%. If your sports team wins, you get a boost of testosterone.
Is that true?
Yeah. You know why you're acting the way you're acting today about Bitcoin Cash? You're getting a boost from a hormonal boost from the happiness that you have around whatever you're seeing occur. Your team, whatever team that is winning or doing well. So you're getting a hormone boost.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.